Let's cut the bullshit. We've got straight up marketing advice. You should use it.
Just drop the job.
Adam and Simon's Bullshit Busters.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the next episode of Adam and Simon Bullshit Busters. My name is Simon Batchelor.
I'm Adam Bastock.
And this episode, we are going to be talking all about how to grow a profitable business. So at the time of recording, the business world is sort of looking a little bit worried. We've got very high inflation. The sort of economy is looking a bit sort of wobbly, shall we say. So often this is a time when people are looking at what their business expenditure is. They're looking at where their customers are coming from. They're starting to ask some questions about what they're spending the money on, essentially. Like, do I reduce costs? Do I stop doing this? Do I start doing that? So this episode is all about how you can sort of proactively start to do things that will actually help you grow your business rather than contract your business, which might be what you're expecting to happen. So Adam, do you want to kind of introduce, I guess, the topic of the idea around growing your business?
Yeah, so I think there's where this is coming from is that typically, having worked with businesses over the past 5-10 years or so during many recessions and things like this that we're heading into, there's always this desire to pull back on marketing as the first thing because it's simply seen as a cost of acquisition. It's something that is an optional spend, and it's typically done from a data point of view. And I think really where this is the resilience piece starts coming in is that if you're running a more ethical business that has got its customers at the core, then really that marketing is about scaling up, and it's about doing it quickly and you know, what's the word? It's about scale of impact rather than of individual impact. And that's where this ethical marketing element comes in that if you are naturally talking to your audience and you've got a really strong connection with them, you don't need to spend as much money trying to acquire new customers at scale because you're naturally attracting them because they are attracted to your kind of brand ethos or your offering, or you're aligned to their values, and therefore they're going to protect those values as what they're spending their money on, even during times of recession, because it means a lot to them. And that's going to, you know, see you through in a more resilient way than just flogging cheap shit that no one wants very cheaply, because that's the first thing that's going to go because no one actually wants it or believes in it. So I think this is where the profitable bit really comes in as well, is that they are less price conscious. They are more willing to kind of endure that pricing. And I think the best example of this is the stats around B Corps. Now, B Corps are typically large organizations, but they're a good kind of guiding light in this. So B Corporations, just very quickly, are is a standard that measures it across 5 different areas of your business. It's an incredibly hard metric to get because it really does require proof of action within your business that you're taking the things that you're doing, and therefore the badge is seen as a very high standard of ethical quality. There's probably another episode we need to do on B Corps, but that's kind of the summary of it. There'll be a link somewhere on the screen if we ever do one in the future. But the thing with B Corps is that I think there's a stat that came out last week that they're growing at something like 27 times. I don't know what the number is. It's something in that kind of order of magnitude times quicker than other businesses. Because of that reason is that they are finding it much easier to attract customers, and therefore they arguably need to spend slightly less on marketing, cost per acquisition per person or whatever the metric might be, to acquire those people. So I think it's where during a recession or during a period of economic disruption, having a value alignment with your customers and having a human-centered approach to marketing, which I would argue most B Corps do, maybe not all, is always going to build you a more profitable business as a result, because it means that you can take slightly more risks with your marketing spend. Does that make any sense at all? I'm not just going running at the houses.
No, I think that's really, really bang on. And I think the other thing that is sort of easier, if you're using a compelling story that encompasses your values and your why, if you will, like, why is your business in existence? Yeah. Most big businesses have a really shit answer to that question, and it's like, well, because we have to make money for our shareholders. Yeah. It's not a very compelling story, but it's the truth. And that's why, as a small business, you can generally outmaneuver a big business, because you're acting from a point of a really compelling story generally, and what you're selling is aligned with your customers' values, which, as you've said, means you necessarily you don't necessarily need to spend as much on persuading them that this is something they want or need in their lives, because it already aligns with their values, or they align with the story that you're telling about the product or why your business is doing what it's doing. And the money that they're willing to spend on that is generally higher, because they don't see it as a cost. They generally see it as an investment or as supporting. So if you're running an ethical business or a sustainable business or both, then, and your story is there, then your cost per acquisition, to use, you know, sales and marketing terms, will generally be, I would say, lower per sale, but maybe higher per lifetime client.
Yeah.
But the that isn't necessarily a problem, because that client will keep coming back and back and back. Whereas if you've sold someone... Yeah, exactly. Whereas if you're not necessarily worried about repeat customer, i.e. you're just trying to sell them the cheapest toilet bleach in the market, like, no one is loyal to a brand of toilet bleach.
Yeah.
Because why would you be? Because it either works or it doesn't. And if it doesn't, you'll just move to the next one. So if you're selling stuff to people that they don't really care about and there's no story behind it, then it doesn't really matter about referral. It doesn't really matter. Whereas if you launch a toilet bleach which has a story behind it, you know, like what's the one with D in it? D4D, I can't remember what it's, Echo, Eco D or whatever it is.
Yeah,
that one. It's got a really good story behind it. It's got a really, yes, exactly. It's got a good values behind it. Then, yes, it works. But also you can say to people, oh, yeah, well, actually, do you know what? I've switched to this other brand and it's lasting a bit longer. It's doing the same job. And I'm also not pouring all this crap down the loo. So you've got something to say, and you've got something to refer, because you've got that story to tell. So even though it might cost you a bit more to get that first client, they will essentially help do some of the marketing for you by referring you on to someone else.
I think there's a great example here around advocacy, of just advocacy being exactly that. People are going to come in and talk about your business in a positive way because they really like you, and therefore they're going to be marketing for you. Whereas a larger corporation, and this is a thing I've experienced recently, where I've been doing a lot of talks in front of about 200 people or so around the country, talking about sustainability more specifically. But in that, I there's an example that I have of Selfridges, where they sent me an item that I bought online probably about 2 years ago, that was a little tin box thing that was a gift that then came in all of this packaging. And it was just this huge box of stuff. Selfridges are a very large corporation, but that packaging isn't very thoughtful. But now I'm going around on stage shouting about them, saying how bad they are, because I'm like, well, why have they sent me all of this all of this shit in a box that I didn't need? It's a tin. It could have been done in a tiny little thing. And that always kind of gets a bit of a laugh and engagement on stage, because people have had those experiences, and that's a negative thing. I'm not advocating for Selfridges there. That's don't buy from them. They can't be trusted to a certain extent. On the flip side of that, the company that I do then celebrate on stage in the next slide is a company called Rapa Nui, who they sell T-shirts, and they're based on the Isle of Wight. Great company. And I order some T-shirts from them. They come in a plastic, in a paper bag. That's it. It's all made from renewable energy. Paper's recyclable. I can send the shirts back in its circular economy. They tick all of the boxes. And I'm shouting about them and advocating the people buying with them in a far more positive way as a result of them. They're not paying me. They're not sponsoring me, sadly. They're just ethical. I really like what they're doing. Yet. One day that check will come in the post. But, you know, because they're doing really good things, it then works. So I think there is that level of just connection with real people that ethical businesses, and ethical in its kind of broader sense there, of just, even if you're a small coffee shop that has a real, that, you know, buys nice coffee and makes nice cakes, I'd call that probably quite an ethical business, in that people are going to be more willing to, or be less willing to give up that spend than they would do if they're buying from Tesco or Costa or Starbucks, because they know the impact it's going to have. So I think that's it.
Yeah.
I think the other side we've not really touched on as much as maybe we should do is that idea of being able, that agility element, and being able to really change and make those changes in a way that, in a very competitive market, if you're dealing with large organizations, they can't adapt as quickly to the new technologies or to the new methodologies or experimentation really with marketing in the same way that you can, and therefore there's a real strength there of being a small business, and that you can make shit happen. If you want to plant 1,000 trees with ecology, you can do it, and you can do it tomorrow. You don't need to go and get approval. You just need to have a credit card or whatever. If you wanted to go and change your entire packaging supply chain, or start selling stuff that you know the waste product that you're selling on eBay and doing something like that, you can do. And that's the benefit, is that in this sort of market where you need to adapt, and I think we saw this during COVID actually, is that businesses made new businesses happen very quickly because they had to. And so restaurants suddenly went from being restaurants to being at-home delivery services. And there's at least one company in Glasgow I know that are still doing that. You know, there's still this kind of at-home experience brand that is now launched nationally because they were making more money from it. And, you know, they're doing really well. Mm. So that wouldn't have happened if they couldn't have responded so quickly. And then you get companies like Pret, who really struggled with their offering of their discount coffee cards because they're too big, they're too slow, and it just didn't really land with their customers and they didn't have any connection with it. So there's a lot to be said there, I think, for just that more ethical, sustainable, and empathetic marketing of to your customers, really having a resilience piece that is very, very rarely spoken about.
Yeah, and I think for most small businesses, you can have done and have implemented the idea you've got before your largest competitor has had the meeting to work out whether they can get the right people in the room to have the meeting to talk about the idea.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like one of our friends who works for an incredibly large company was saying that his firm, in the second year of the pandemic, were announcing that they could now do meetings on Zoom. So it took them 12 months to get Zoom links.
Nuts, isn't it?
I mean, that's absolute insanity. Whereas most people just went to Zoom, downloaded Zoom, and did the meeting. It took them 30 seconds. It took this company 12 months to just move to Zoom. And you just think that's how slow moving to Zoom is. So if you imagine, oh, we're going to do this with the coffee cups, we're going to do this with packaging, we're going to do this with that energy supplier, there's nothing stopping you.
Yeah.
You know, just because your competitors haven't done it, and most importantly, just because your competitors haven't told everybody they're doing it, doesn't mean you shouldn't. And we did a whole episode on greenwashing, which actually includes the phrase green hushing.
Yeah.
So I would encourage you to go and have a listen to that, because green hushing is essentially doing lots of great stuff and then not telling everybody about it. And I think that is the one thing I think is a lot of companies are inadvertently guilty of.
Yeah.
And I think there's a real sort of passion here that we're trying to get across, that it's like, even a small change, you should be shouting about it, because your competitors won't be. And even if they are, they're still thinking about it rather than doing it. And you've launched it, they'll be shaking in their boots.
I think that's it. And there's a great example of this, that kind of green hushing and how to avoid it, which is a company called Haynes House, which is a wedding venue in Kent. And just their sustainability page is so transparent because it says all the things that they're not doing, but it has them on a roadmap of when they are going to do them. And that's an immediate level of trust that I have of that organization now, having never really met them. You know, just I've seen them a couple of times online and that's it. But that is a business that I now remember and will mention a lot, that I'm assuming is profitable and I think will be profitable, because they are going to find it much easier to compete against the larger corporate wedding venues that don't have that transparency in place, because I'm not going to trust Hilton as much as I would do them, or, you know, whatever wedding, I don't know, whatever wedding venues people have these days. I don't know the corporate ones out there, but I think there's an element there of just, you can then do that. You can be transparent. You can stand behind your values much more confidently, and that's going to translate into profit in the long run, and means that you don't have to spend as much money on paid marketing and acquisition, because people will naturally be finding you, and that makes you a more resilient business in the long run.
Yeah. So I think really the sort of summary is, if you want to grow your business, it's to start talking more about what you're doing, not necessarily spending more on advertising, just talking more about what you're doing, giving your clients a way where they can help other clients recommend you. So if you can help your customers recommend to other friends and colleagues what you're doing and talk about, that's a really cost-effective way, because you're literally, if you're especially in e-commerce, you're already sending them something.
Yeah.
So if you can just add something to the thing you're already sending, you know, that can be an incredibly cost-effective way of doing marketing. So if anything, if times of economic downturn or recession are ahead, then marketing, not necessarily in the spending money, but maybe time and effort, is definitely where you should be leaning into during that time, because some of the bigger brands, as you said earlier, Adam, will be using data to pull back on that and saying, oh, do you know what? No, we're not going to spend money on that. We're not going to spend money on this. But if you are putting time and energy into it, again, you're going to outmaneuver them.
Precisely. That's a really good point to end on.
Great. Excellent. So thank you very much, everybody, for listening and watching. And we'll see you next time.
See you soon.
Bye. Bye. Let's cut the bullshit.